Welcome to the Disney Hour Express podcast. I'm Abby.
And I'm Rob. We are two hopelessly romantic Disney enthusiasts.
Sharing fun stories, secret tips, and family travel experiences.
If you are a Disney newbie, or maybe a season pass holder, we hope you find this information helpful.
We turned our love of Disney into a unique boutique travel agency that books Disney and Universal vacations.
We've got a lot of stories, so cozy on up, choose your favorite drink,
whether that be a cocktail or a hot chocolate,
and enjoy the Disney Hour Express.
Well, hey, Potineers, welcome to episode 64.
No, do not try it again.
I am calling them all the Potineers.
No.
Yeah, no. I am. No, I know that just, you don't like Potineers.
Now, we have to go back. This is actually the second time we're trying this intro. We were recording. We thought we were recording. It didn't record.
And the first time I recorded it was so perfect that he doesn't want to redo it again.
I don't want to redo it exactly how it was.
She also
tried, calling everyone Potineers again, and I'm fighting for you.
I don't know.
I mean, I haven't heard otherwise. You guys may love the name Potineers, but I think they do. I think we could come up with something better.
But that being said, we would really love input on what you would like us to talk about on the podcast. What would be helpful to you as a listener who may be going to Disney World or Disneyland, Universal Studios, Orlando, or Hollywood? What is it that you're interested in? Is there a specific resort that you want us to deep dive into, tell you all the secrets, tell you exactly how many hauntings there are in that resort and what kind of food you can get on a Saturday night? I mean, we could do it, but we need to know. That would be helpful.
I mean, we do need to know. Yes, that would be helpful. And you could contact us through any one of our social media platforms.
There's a lot out there.
You could do it on our website. You could email us, which is on the website. You can go Instagram, Facebook, Tiki Talk. Yeah. So any of those things.
So
yes. And then you could also come up with a better name than Potineers.
There is no better name.
The Hourettes.
Which I loved because it's close to Rockettes, but we decided it didn't roll off your tongue well.
Properly. So
got it.
The Expressors.
Again. The Expressions? That reminds me of something very not kosher.
Hey, Expressions.
So in any case, let's get back to episode 64.
How about this? How about we just call them the X's?
The X's?
Yeah, we're talking to all of your X's.
What? I think you're crazy. Anyways, back to episode 64, as we should have been done already. Yeah, you should. The announcement this week that Test Track will be closing on June 17th for reimagining. So that's right, it won't close forever, but it's getting a nice boost. We don't quite know yet what that is. So Disney Imagineers, along with the teams from Chevrolet, are going to reach back into history to what the old ride was, which originally it was known as World of Motion, operated from October of 1982. Through January of 1996. And this took guests on a road trip through the evolution of transportation.
Ugh. Now.
Such a snoozy ride that was.
We just, before recording, we watched this with the kids, videotaping from 1994 of the World of Motion. Mm-hmm.
Because, so you couldn't hear one thing that was being said.
Yeah, you could barely make out anything. And, you know, there's a lot of dark parts. And there wasn't good night vision mode in any of your camcorders back then.
Camcorders.
Give it the benefit of the doubt. It was very similar, for those that don't remember or were never on it, very similar to what you would see in Spaceship Earth.
Yes.
I wonder if it smelled like crayons.
I wonder, because what was it? We asked Brie, travel specialist Brie, why it smelled like crayons. And she had said it was like the old wax figures under the lights were kind of giving off that scent, right? Because this is where she worked.
I don't remember. Like, did you have a private conversation that you didn't share with me?
I mean, I often have private conversations with the specialists.
That you don't
share
with me?
That's all I do all day long. Would you like me to record them?
Yes.
Oh,
I'd like to, you to forward all your text messages.
Oh, boy.
I feel left out.
I'm sorry.
I'm going back to my beer.
I hate to tell you that. In any case, this was a snoozer. Our kids barely got through the video, so I don't know how they would be on the ride. Probably take some naps.
You could understand why it was closed.
But it talks about the, traveling on your feet, then traveling how everybody used to travel, right? Then they started traveling on horseback, elephants, all sorts of things, which was also foot travel. And then it moves on to the invention of the wheel, and Rob is falling asleep as I talk about these things. But that's the basic gist of the ride. It's a big history, but I love to learn on vacation.
And now we really know why it went nowhere. Oddly enough, the ride ended with when you learned to travel through Family Travel Planner. Imagine that. Plug if we got in there.
That would have been something. Cool.
They're like, and listen to the Disney Hour Express podcast. Thank you, Power Hour.
Okay, let's stop.
Let's stop.
It's fine. Right. So, anyways, this ride was closed down, right, in 1996.
World of Motion,
and it reopened in 1999, March 17th of 1999, as Test Track, as what we know now as Test Track, as an innovative and futuristic ride. The attraction was actually set to open in May of 1997, but it had many, many delays, including issues with technology and additional testing and last minute changes. I imagine creating this, they had to just think about so many things as well as people flow throughout it, because they have really two different areas in which they have to be of concern. Because if I'm right, when you get off the ride, I mean, we'll get into more of the logistics of the ride right now, but there seems to be two different areas where you can kind of loiter, and that's making the actual car. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, when you're in the end facility, right? And you can kind of mess around a little bit in there as well. Am I right in remembering that? Probably not.
What,
my brain.
You could change the specifications of the car, like the details of it? Or?
No, that's right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on. So in any case, the Chevrolet Design Center is where you can create and test your own cars. And when you're in the queue and you are designing your own car, it's based on capability, responsiveness, efficiency, and power, right? So these are all the steps that you have to add to your car. Yes. And it might be things like different wheels, different design of the car, like if it's
aerodynamics.
What else in there? I mean, you're going for nice design, like colors and things like that.
Yeah, but, and you could change like the hood, and there was just, there were different design elements mostly.
Yep. Okay, and then you're going to board your test car and you're going to take your design for a spin on the sim track. So it's pretty cool. Throughout the ride, I think I was really focusing on the kids' enjoyment, but I grasp a couple of things too. Like it goes through all texting those different elements throughout the ride, right?
And yes, the speed you're and like whatnot. Checking stopping power and how it could take corners and things like that,
which was very interesting. Mm-hmm. So currently, this is the fastest attraction at Walt Disney World. It reached a top speed of 65 miles per hour. Did it feel like it's the fastest to you?
I mean, it's hard to tell, right? Because when you're on like a actual roller coaster and you're moving along, it feels like you're shooting out faster.
It does. And I think you're buckled in differently.
So I think it's our thought of acceleration that's actually as opposed to top speed.
Gotcha.
Because again, as I point out to the kids all the time, I drive faster than Test Track.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's legal or not, it's up to you.
And they'll also tell you oftentimes you're driving
faster. Yeah,
you are driving faster than Test Track, because they'll check on your speed.
Because mommy's not.
Okay. So anyways, generally, this also has one of the longest wait times, consistently, I should say. So it's a 5-minute ride, but typically, like today's average wait for it was 63 minutes.
Okay. And it also, it's like generally, it, at least recently, I've seen that it breaks down a lot.
Yes.
It is also down.
And that's one of the reasons I really hadn't been on it prior was either the wait time and because it broke down so frequently.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we've kind of reached up to the technology of this ride, right? So what I'm thinking, and they haven't confirmed anything about where this is going, but I think they're going to move towards advertising and talking about electric vehicles because General Motors and Chevrolet, they announced in 2021 they would eliminate gas and diesel cars and SUVs like from the lineup by 2035. Yeah. So that's just where we're headed. I mean, come on, guys, build a hovercraft. I'm ready.
A hovercraft. Oh, that's one way to go.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Here we go.
I would take a hoverboard.
A hoverboard. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, Back to the Future 2 style.
All right. All right.
These boats don't work on water.
Yeah. So that's I've got for that. You know, I mean, that's cool.
I got to say, like, the first time I went on test track, I was kind of indifferent to it. I had I was by myself before we met, and there was a kid in the vehicle that did not want to be there. So it ruined my experience.
That's the worst.
And he was just crying the entire time.
Yeah.
This time it was different. Like I said, I was sitting with Bailey and we were worried about how she was going to react to certain things and stuff. So it was, but it was like when she was enjoying it, I was able to enjoy it more.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it seemed a little bit more thrilling.
Sure.
So that part was a little bit more fun and adventurous. The thing I could do with that, like, I don't know. It feels just like, it's like, the whole design element of it, like I don't know if it actually affects anything to do on the when you're designing the car, if it changes it.
No, so I wouldn't.
It kind of just feels like filler.
It's filler kids. Time. Like how, like when you're going on like Flight of the Banshee or something. Like, did I even say that ride correctly? I'm sorry. Like it has like a lot of filler time. Flight of Passage. Thank you. You're going into that room and you're being held in that room, and then you're going to a different room and being held in that room. Yes, this very much gives that element.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they're just doing that. The kids seem to like it, but so I don't know if they're going to keep that or not, or if they're getting rid of that and they're going to add some slow moving ride and then get you off and then you speed away. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But we'll see. They did have like in the World of Motion. They had like this, it was a part where they were showing how, you know, we were using ships to sail across the sea.
Yeah.
But then it had like a big, like a sea dragon. That was just like, you could just see its eye because the rest of it probably wasn't well done. But I don't know. Maybe the sea dragon.
And they had like
return.
The whole bicycle scene where there was a man sitting in mud because
he fell off
with
the
pigs.
Bike. Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
It was like so random.
Yeah. was random.
But it did bring back like I didn't think I was on that ride, but I must have been on it.
I definitely felt like I was on that ride at some point.
But especially because it shares similar animatronics to and also the pace of Spaceship Earth.
Agreed. So, okay, so that's what else that. You got?
So,
what other news was there?
So kind of like the it was like big news, but not really huge because there's no concrete details, but. And it was hinted at before, specifically at D23 is when they started talking about is, you know, there's expansions that are supposed to happen in Disney World.
Yeah.
Did you know about that?
I mean, I do now.
And we did before. So there was a Walt Disney Imagineering media event this week for this new YouTube series. It's called We Call It Imagineering.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched the first part of it. Kind of, we both again fell asleep. Just one of those types of days.
It is. I'm yawning right now. Yeah. It's a snoozy afternoon.
Especially when I talk, she yawns. I get it. It's understandable.
No.
So anyway, so there was a media event for that, and there was a Walt Disney exec by the name of Michael Hunchen. Said the plan is to expand the world's most popular theme park. I that was added in there. He said that they're going to expand to 12 to 14 acres.
Okay. So roughly that's the
land,
size.
I'm sorry. Creating a land of 12 or 14 acres. Sorry.
Interesting. So they were saying that that's the size of what they expanded over at Hollywood Studios for Star Wars. And
they said that, yeah, it would be, they compared it to the scope of Galaxy's Edge or of Pandora, like to that type of. Now, like details beyond that are pretty thin, right? So we don't really, there's not too much to say there. But I guess in what the catalyst for this kind of the story, why this is being up there, is because they just last week, Walt Disney settled lawsuits over, with the state of Florida. And,
I'm glad that that's all settled, right?
Anyway, so they think that, so now they kind of have a clear path to like continue to expand and build.
Which is great, which is exactly what they need.
Yeah, it's like a win-win, right? They're just going to keep adding things, and then obviously it's going to do things for Florida and, bring in even more tourists and whatever else they're going to charge. I mean, conservationists, I guess, maybe might be upset, but...
Well, isn't there some sort of, like, for all the land that Disney uses, I believe there is that amount of land or more that they dedicate to conservation efforts. I don't have that data in front of me, but I know that we learned that at some point.
I like it. So the since D23, it was kind of revealed that the expansion is going to happen over beyond Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. So that's right. So you go past Tiana's Bayou, and then you move past that to Big Thunder Mountain, and then all that area over there is undeveloped. There's been talks.
So interesting. I'm looking at the map right now, and it's just an interesting area. I mean, you can't really expand. I mean, you can expand back behind all these other places. Anyways, keep on going. Right. I'm just thinking out loud.
Well, you think, where else could you expand?
Well, I mean, you could technically expand. And again, I don't know what exactly is behind there, but behind Splash Mountain or even behind Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Expand that way. So you have to think about, all right, if we're expanding behind Frontierland, is it going to be a whole new land, or are they expanding Frontierland?
I think it's going to be a whole new land.
Yeah.
That's what I would think.
What they were saying, right?
Yeah. Okay. So there, again, not like a lot of concrete details whatsoever. There's talks about them taking out permits, but kind of Disney executives have tossed around the ideas of, they mentioned like Moana, Coco, or Zootopia. Now, I don't think that Coco isn't big enough to have like a whole new land. That seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That would happen. Zootopia was big. It was a big, it did good numbers, but again, I don't think so. And I thought they were talking about adding something. There's a lot of, there's renovation happening in Animal Kingdom, and that's where Zootopia, which would make the most sense, being that it's animals,
right?
Which something would pop up there. So I couldn't. And I don't think it would be a whole new land, right? Because you think about the stuff that has like a land, such as Pandora or Star Wars, those are huge IPs, right? Especially right now, those are hot. What is Zootopia doing? What is Coco doing?
There's not going to be another Zootopia, is there?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't heard anything.
Bunnies will be old.
There's even Moana, which is now going to be Moana 2 is coming out.
Yep.
But I still don't know if that's enough. Especially that it's like, they just had the Epcot, I'm confusing it with Avatar.
Moana's Journey of Water.
Journey of Water. There we go. Not Way of Water.
Too close.
Come on.
Sorry.
So I don't know about any of those names, but do you have any thoughts?
Well, that's so interesting because I didn't have that information when you had originally asked me this question, but I could totally see.
I did write
it
in the notes.
See that, guys? See how
two
I...
Two in a row.
But these were collaborative notes. I could see potentially a whole Encanto land. I mean, if you think about it, there's the house, right? Which is what everything kind of takes place in. Mm-hmm. And then even the story is, you know, in the village, right? Mm-hmm. So you could have the village and the house and a few different kind of fun rides resulting around that story. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Originally, I was thinking like, all right, so this location, although it's not next to Splash Mountain, it's kind of over there in that area. Would it be a newer New Orleans Square? Would they expand that idea since over in Disneyland, they have more of a New Orleans Square?
Yes, but that's because of Walt's
obsession, right?
Yes.
Fascination. But now you saying this, I'm like, oh, it's definitely got to be an Encanto.
Yeah, I still just don't like Encanto's was big. It didn't, you know, obviously it came out during COVID, so it was hard to gauge. It became huge. Obviously, we don't talk about Bruno was a huge hit. But is that enough for an entire land, though?
I think so. I mean, if you're thinking about Encanto more as a whole, it just brings a different dynamic to Disney World. It brings a different kind of people and culture.
To Magic Kingdom.
And yes, to Magic Kingdom. And it brings someone who's not actually a princess.
But then again, part of what Animal Kingdom's supposed the Dinoland area being redone, they talked about that being a Southern American theme. Mm. So that might be the Encanto area.
Mm. True.
It could be, even though it's not very animal themed.
Right.
I get no, there are animals.
It's not.
In that
I think
at
there
all?
Was like a donkey or something.
Oh, but boy. Eeyore. with the Pooh, maybe Winnie the Pooh is going in there, Winnie the Pooh land. Yeah, I have to see. There, the other thing that they've talked about for years, and that we've heard in various capacities in all the different parks, was that, you know, Disney wants to be able to market their villains more, right? And they do like villains,
right? And there has been,
and there's
talk
a lot of great
of
characters, yeah. So yeah. That would make. They kind of mentioned that at some point, uh-huh. The villains having like their own land.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they got a lot of good villains.
Okay.
But also, is that like too dark? Is that, would that be too dark for kids if it's just like villains? Is little Jenny and Bobby, are they going to be crying as they go up and see Ursula? And then,
well, I mean, they would be able to take away like the whole story from what's that show that the kids like so much that has Mel.
Oh, oh God, yes, I'm in
I
the
know.
Same.
We're just an Evie, and
it's not the, Charmed.
It's
our niece was in the play.
It's Descendants.
There it is.
Okay. So, I mean, it could take on the whole idea of Descendants, where there's like that kind of portal that brings you between the evil and the good. But the evil's not like really evil. It's just kind of like bad candy apples and like, you know, a mean queen. But she's not really mean. She's just kind of like talks
mean. Could they expand upon their other, like their Disney Plus IPs that have taken off, like zombies. Could there be a zombie land and a Descendants land and a, I don't know what
I
else.
I can't really see a zombie land Bluey coming land. About, but.
I don't know.
Bluey's
pretty big. Okay. So that's our speculation. But so we'll be, as we hear more about that, we'll obviously report it back to you.
Know.
I'd expect something over D23, which is happening over in Anaheim this year.
Yes.
I would expect maybe something from there.
Right.
Disney's very good at releasing information when they want it released.
It's painful.
So,
but they're good at it. So true.
They know a big event like that, like they're going to have us on the hook.
Yep. Now, all right. So it's almost halfway to Halloween.
Almost.
Yep. Almost. So over at Universal Studios, they are kicking it off early this year by telling us the terror is going to start earlier than ever before. And by earlier, I mean really just one day earlier than last year. It's going to kick off on August 30th and run on select nights through November 3rd. So this is the 33rd year, and it's going to have 48 events. Knights.
Oh.
So HHN, if you didn't know, it has been around since 1991. I went over and watched a, I think it was called Drayport Productions. I'll have to double check what that is on YouTube. And they had some really good information on what's going to happen this year. Now, as far as any new house ideas or anything being released, they have not done that yet. But again, like Disney, they like to hold on to those and give out little subtle hints through their marketing. Mm-hmm. So if you watch that marketing closely, you might be able to see a few hints here and there. But as of yet, we haven't been able to piece anything together.
There's that full speculation map.
Yes.
Which seems likely.
Could be anything.
You could figure some things out, but you know, you don't know.
But 10 haunted houses, like last year, 5 scary zones, 1 show, new food and drinks as usual, and a tribute store. Mm-hmm. Now, we were all surprised that it's only 1 show announced for this year, as it's we'd like to see more than 1 show, but that's all they're giving us. Okay. We already said we didn't know what the event was going to be, but they do have some merch out. And it says Where Horror Lives. And this merchandise is very 90s themed. Ooh. So think like Saved by the Bell, like merch and like things that they'd wear and there. And that's definitely what we're seeing.
You're talking like a giant mobile phone.
Yeah, kind of like that, like just 90s attire, like background text, almost like a pizza parlor, like interesting.
Maybe some Z Cavaricis. Yeah. Where we're going to the Max.
So, yes, exactly. Okay. It reminds me exactly of the Max. So the usual tagline for the past 3 years has been never go alone. So it is interesting that we're seeing different. Where Horror Lives. Gotcha. We're not sure if they've dropped never go alone yet. If that's like no longer the phrase, but.
Gotcha.
So the earlier you go in the season, usually the cheaper the tickets are, especially during the week. So, buy your tickets before, right? Prior to even thinking about going, buy them through your travel specialist or online. Because if you're buying them there, there's no guarantee you're going to get a ticket. It might be sold out and it's probably going to be more expensive.
Oh.
So what you get is pretty cool. So if you're going to go for a single night ticket, you're going to also receive 6 months of Peacock Premium free.
Well, right there. You're talking about with the ads?
Probably. What are some of the shows we've watched on Peacock? I don't even remember.
Peacock.
We watched a lot of
it was the detective show with Natasha Lyonne.
Okay.
Remember she was the no
yeah
no remember it was that was the big hit
okay, all right that's all we've watched on Peacock. No, I feel like there's definitely been more. I thought we watched that 1884 show or whatever.
That wasn't on Peacock. That was Paramount.
I get those two confused. All right, anyways, I hope that you can watch Peacock because it's pretty cool. HHN Express Pass, you could get, you skip the lines one time at all the haunted houses and rides and attractions at the park. And so if you are doing this event just one night, we would highly recommend that you get an Express Pass. It is a pretty penny, and it's also very, very hard to do everything in one night. So if you're like really bent on like I want to see every single thing, you really need to get the RIP tour.
Yeah, the houses can get up to the wait times can get hours. Up to like an hour, you know, depending upon the popularity and stuff. So 10 hours, it ain't open that long.
It's not open that long. So the RIP tour, it's guaranteed to see all the houses and shows. These can run between $350 to $429 plus your admission to the actual event. Yeah. So it's a pretty penny. But that's, again, like if you're in town for one day, you're obsessed with it. This is what you want to do. RIP tour is the way to go. They have also an Unmasking the Horror tour. This is a daytime VIP tour of a few of the houses. It's not all the houses, but just a few of them. There's no scare or effects, just the sets behind the scenes. And this year, it actually starts 2 weeks prior. Yeah. It starts on August 11th. So that's new and that's interesting. Really interesting, I guess. I don't know. I'm like, why 2 weeks prior? Like, when just, it's not because, opening.
Because they're just making money. Because they can, because they're not worried about the actor showing up. Just if you're interested in this, you could do it then.
Well, I guess.
Make money for an extra 2 weeks.
All right. So, you know, three house tours starts at the price of $99 when six house tours starts at the price of $179. Again, it depends when you're going and blah, and blah,
they
blah,
still
blah.
Recommend that, you know, 13 or up still, even though there's actors, you're not being scared. It could be like kind of grisly.
Right. Because you're going to see blood scenes and all sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Just not, you know,
these are things of nightmares, people. which, by the way, I haven't even told Rob this, so I'm telling you live on the air. Last night, I had a lot of nightmares throughout the night and kept waking up. And one of my daughters also told me that she had a lot of nightmares. And she described one of them to me. It was the same nightmare I had. Isn't that weird?
I mean, maybe.
It's to me, it's weird. Both of the nightmares had to do with our eyes.
I'm sure they weren't like exact. You both have eyes. I mean,
they were similar. They were similar. Come on. You both have similar. You need to fall into the believer category.
You both have blue eyes, so maybe that could be it.
No, it was a little creepier than that. But in any case, I'm just saying weird things happen.
Oh, boy. Yes, she did. She made me come to the bathroom with her at 3:00 in the morning.
And now I made you just stand in the hallway. And this little... Listen, when you're scared in the middle of the night and you ask your husband if he can stand in the hallway, the first thing you shouldn't do is stand in the hallway facing the other wall when your wife comes out of the bathroom, because that is Blair Witch right there. Okay. I was just like, what is he doing? Why is he facing the wall?
Why am I up right now?
Anyways.
You know, there's so many things going on. As we have this one cat that's like her sole purpose is to get to Abby. So
that's because I'm amazing.
We have to like guard our door anytime we come or go out of our bedroom, because we have to close it. Otherwise, she'll just end up sleeping on Abby's head. And also waking up the dogs, because then Landa will wake up and want to go after her. It's this whole thing. So that's what I was doing. I was getting ready to open the door to make sure Tiger wasn't around. Tiger Lily.
Is quite the Tiger Lily.
Bunny Foo Foo or whatever the rest of her name
is. Cookie Jingles. Or whatever it is. Yes. Okay. So back to our HHN. Last thing is the multi-night tickets are not out yet. They will become available probably soon. This would be for folks that live local and want to go multiple times, or if you're having an extended trip and you want to go multiple times during your trip, you'd get multi-night tickets.
Multi-night.
So that's what I've got happening over at Universal soon.
Yeah, there's not much else in Universal. That's their big thing, right?
That's their big thing.
And until Epic Universe comes out, which they're still, you know, they just had like a video come out about the new
DreamWorks.
Not DreamWorks. Forget about that. Oh.
I mean, I did see a video of the roller coaster the dragons, the other day.
My memory's just shot today. It's usually not this bad. What's
lack of oxygen in this room?
What's the drag? The
Dueling Dragons.
The dragon movies, though.
How to Train a Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah, there you go. It's called The Island of Berk.
Wow.
Yeah. Not
like our friend's husband. Yeah. Does he get his own island?
I don't think it's spelled that name. It's B-E-R-K.
Oh.
I guess that's part of How to Train Your Dragon. Okay. Obviously, we'll have to watch before we go over there. But they just released like the unveiling of it, like even though it's not fully built. I don't know. Universal's doing. They were sending stuff to all those influencers. The theme park influencers had them. They obviously did not make the cut, but...
we might. I haven't checked my email lately.
Oh. First of all, that's a bold-faced lie. You're the one person I know that checks all your emails constantly.
A lot of people that want to talk to me, all right? Like Tiger Lily.
Yes, in the middle of the night.
She's got things to say. Anyways.
So that was Universal. Over in Disneyland, they've just started their Season of the Force, right? Which is a celebration of Star Wars.
Yay!
Wow. So that started as of April 5th. Now I'm super jealous. Like, this is,
I know Disneyland knows, like, how to do, like, this right. Disneyland, their popcorn, like, buckets alone,
like,
are
Disney World. Like, what are we doing? Like, how come they're not in both parks? I don't understand. They're,
yeah, not, I don't know.
They both have Galaxy Edges.
Yeah.
There's a Batuu in both. There's a Black Spire outpost in both parks.
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. It's weird. Anyway,
so they just start. So it's a celebration of Star Wars. There's, like, all new foods and drinks that you could get throughout the park in Disneyland. Disney World, you got nothing. But a couple of the new attractions they have on select nights that started on April 5th. So we're talking in the past, but it goes forward. At Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you'll be able to you'll be able to see Fire of the Rising Moons, which is a nighttime experience that debuts a different view of the stunning Disneyland Park fireworks display with a musical accompaniment.
Ooh.
So that's pretty cool. It has selections from, like, John Williams, obviously famous Star Wars score.
Yeah.
Amongst other things. And they said it could be experienced from multiple areas in Galaxy's Edge, including the Black Spire spaceport, the TIE Echelon docking platform, and the speeder garage. In addition to that, your Magic Band Plus will be vibrating, yes, and lighting up and everything. And, like, I saw just a picture of it. I mean, it was like, took my breath away. It was like a picture, like, over the Millennium Falcon of the fireworks. And I can imagine, like, if I'm there and they're playing the Star Wars theme, like, forget it.
I'd be crying.
No, blubbering. Like, you've never seen me blubber before. You've seen me blubber before.
I've never seen you blubber before.
It'd be like totally ugly crying. Like, just be like inconsolable. Just, I can't.
I'd be like, I'm just going to go home. You guys can be alone.
I can't. Me and the Millennium. I'm just hugging the Falcon.
I can see it. You know, for your birthday, we did get you that picture of you with the Millennium Falcon. And I don't see it posted anywhere here. Huh?
Yeah, well, yes. Well, huh. I get news. I don't like pictures of myself.
Oh, but you look great.
I don't like seeing me.
Of course you do.
It's your picture, then I'd be different. I'd hang it up.
Baby, you're crazy.
Crazy about you. Also, coinciding with the Season of the Force, I guess. I don't know. The Star Tours, the new experiences, right? Started. You could go to either Star Tours in either Disneyland or Disney World.
That's
and
right.
They've added new sequences into it. Now, I read about it. It's somewhat, like, it was a little confusing to me, I guess. But right now, these new experiences, right? They can include. So, in every time you go on Star Tours, you could see Ahsoka. You could see Cassian Andor, or you could see Grogu and the Mandalorian, Din Djarin. You're not guaranteed to see them.
Yeah.
But the other part, there's like a new setting that happened at the end of the series Ahsoka, or the season of Ahsoka. I'm not sure if it's continuing or not. But it's a planet called Cetos. And so that is guaranteed. You're going to go visit that scene at the end of Star Tours.
Yeah.
Now, there's a chance, there's a middle transmission that you're going to, that you could see one of those new things. It said with Ahsoka Tano or one of those other people. But it's not guaranteed. The only thing that's guaranteed is that you're going to end, as of right now, on that planet, Cetos.
Okay.
So you could see something. There's like something else in the beginning where, instead of, I guess, is it Star Tours, like you start off and it's like the Millennium Falcon is being docked by either Darth Vader or Kylo Ren or something. But instead of seeing that, it starts off with Ahsoka Tano's ship and she's like fighting stormtroopers on it instead. So there's all these different things. Eventually, all the scenes will just be put in the randomizer. And so as you go on, you'll just see a whole different a mixture of everything. So there's up to, you could have 250 variations of scenes. So
that's really cool, because this is just going to keep you wanting to go on it, right? And it's just going to keep the experience
Because for something that's somewhat, you know, it's older and it's been around for a while.
Right.
How do you keep it going? With that being said, my beloved Falcon, Smuggler's Run, has an experience, right, that you go on it, but it's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So this also, you know, people started talking about, well, when are they going to add more adventures to Smuggler's Run?
Right. Well,
and it seems like that's something that could
potentially
that could happen. They talked to the Imagineer that was working on the Star Tours. He was kind of the head of getting all this updated. And he said that they started working on it somewhere between 18 to 24 months ago.
Oh.
So that's how long. Yeah, it's been at work. So it may take a while, but I could see them definitely, because after a while, Smuggler's Run might start feeling a little.
Yeah,
it's
like
still
going to
be amazing. I want to live in the cockpit.
Appreciate my meme I sent to you the other day. Okay, so it was on Smuggler's Run, and it was just like my job on Smuggler's Run, and it's Elf, you know, the guy from Elf, and he's just like pushing all the buttons, like just like hand sliding down all the buttons, and I was just
my job on Smuggler's Run. That's hilarious. I'm a big Gordon Shumway fan. Yeah. Gordon Shumway is the real name of Elf.
Gotcha.
Alien life form.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Nope.
Or are you saying Elf?
Yeah.
Or are you saying Elf?
No, Elf. Oh. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about Elf.
No, not Elf. Elf.
See, okay, got it. Wow. We are married. Thank you.
All right, baby. All right. I want you to pick a number. Until a number from 1 to 197.
Oh,
we've got weird but true Disney facts from National Geographic, and I figure we can share a few.
Abby's been basically carrying this book around with her at all times,
you know,
and she likes reading her Disney facts. All
that's
right,
true.
I am gonna start off with a number that you probably can predict, but it's number 64.
64. Let's see what we've got.
Because this is episode 64 of the Disney Hour Express.
Very good.
Featuring the pressers.
No.
They're depressed.
In 2018.
They've been depressed.
Depressed. Compressed.
This podcast made me depressed.
No. In 2018, one woman set a world record by visiting all 12 Disney theme parks and going on at least one attraction in each in 75 hours and 6 minutes.
Wait a minute.
So,
wait.
Yeah.
Wait, say that. She went on all 12 Disney theme parks?
She visited all 12 Disney theme parks
in 75 hours
and went on at least one attraction in each.
Okay.
So it's like, we need to know a little bit more about this. What attraction did she go on
she
in
can't
each?
Just. Wait.
So,
wait,
okay.
The math is blowing my mind right now.
All right. So, she started out at Anaheim.
Okay. It tells you. All right.
Went to Orlando.
Yeah. Okay.
Went over to Paris.
Oh, my God.
Then Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Tokyo. How does that work?
Because it's 75 hours. That's a little over 3 days. Wow.
I'm very concerned. How did she do that, and what rides did she go on?
Yeah, right, that's pretty amazing. I mean, that seems,
of course, my internet deciding not to load at this particular moment, but I mean, 75 hours, I can't even do that in 75. I can't do anything in 75 hours.
You're doing 75 days,
decisions and all sorts of things. That's crazy.
It took us about 48 hours to figure out what we're doing on this podcast. And this is what we came up with.
That's true. That's true.
But
anyways, that's bananas. And that's very cool. We'll have to figure out what ride she was able to do.
Yeah.
I like that.
One attraction, 12 theme parks.
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay.
All right.
Good for her. She's my idol.
That's what I've got. I wonder if she was even able to like eat in the theme parks.
I want
to
grow up to be her.
Okay. I'll let you do that. I don't know how to reply to that.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Okay.
That's pretty much what we got for you this week. It's just a lot of news, a lot of things going on. Remember that it is Earth Week coming up. So there's over at Animal Kingdom, they're celebrating a lot of Earth things along with Lion King turning 30. That's really fun.
That makes sense.
Yeah, doesn't it?
It does.
I just think of all like the boy bands I used to listen to at the same time of this Lion King. Right? Boys to Men and all those things. They were out.
Because they were featured in The Lion King?
No, because it was the same time.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, that's what I think about as well.
I know you do. You love those boy bands. And, anyways.
Anyway, hopefully you come back next week. You didn't burn out your retinas by looking at the eclipse.
Yep, exactly. Enjoy your week.
Family Travel Planner production.